I had no idea. I knew about molten images, but I had no idea of their power until last night. And with Harry. Harry was the first on the, I don't know what to call it, the hot seat.
It's like he sprouted hair on his face.
Yeah, he's
called
the hot seat because he melts.
But the problem with the molten images is that, are that they are forged in the fire of your own experience. They cannot be blamed on an external entity, i.e. a high place identity or something. They're of your own construction, and you built them, and you forged them, and you overlaid them, and you garnished them to make them look attractive, and they are communal. In other words, they are either directly related to your community, or they are in response to your community idolatry. In other words, they're all of the groves. The difference between groves and molten images: groves are fetishes, the things that we call fetish, and the molten images are communal. Fetish is always private, but these are strong mothers. They are forged in the fire of your own emotions, and so you have kindled the fire. And the only thing that will destroy the molten image is a hotter fire. So the process is not nice. It's like every one of Harry had no gold molten images. All of Harry's molten images, he really only had one, but it was silver, and it was all redemptive. And the offering to that molten image was abiding, toughing it out. And because of that, the blood of Christ could have no effect in his life. And it, you know, everyone is different, but that was his primary offering to that idol. And now, the wild part of it was that it was like, for Ed, it was like him looking in a mirror. It was so funny to see Ed. Harry, don't you see? The cross is right before you. All you have to do is pick it up.
Hey, this is really dumb, Harry.
Yeah, this is really dumb, Harry. But it was like, it was such a joy to me to see Ed ministering.
Yeah.
And it was just unbelievable.
That's neat.
But it was a... The molten image is the last bastion that I know of today. I know, but I love it. But
unless we have to have molten image recall.
Oh yeah, but the most of you, when I say pick up the cross, you don't have any idea what it means. I mean, that's a non-communicative phenomena. Accept your death penalty. You don't know what that means. You can't emotionalize it because it's in direct opposition to the molten images that you are worshiping. Harry knows what it means to pick up the cross. And it's funny, from our standpoint, we've been at this so many years. And it's like, in terms of emotionalizing the experience, right now we're at the point where we can understand the very first principles of the doctrine of Christ. Abandon yourself, pick up your cross. Is that because you're so hard-hearted? Yeah. But you can see why religion is so sloppy and theology is so prone to hypocrisy because of what it takes to get to this point. There are very few willing to pay that price. And the rarity of the doctrine and the rarity of like precious faith. I mean, I'm still overwhelmed that there's two, that there were two that would believe the same thing. So don't take any of this lightly, which I'm sure none of you do. Are any of you in fear with regard to...
Well, I haven't been sleeping real well. I haven't been waking real well either.
We had a visitor at the office today who came over early in the morning and was going to do some stuff and sat in one position and we left to go to dinner.
Who might
be? Oh, I don't know.
It's kind of hard to move, but...
What do you mean when you're talking about the difference between the high place identity and these fires that we have kindled? Who is we, and how's that all fit together?
These are the fires. These are the things that Israel, the Christ within you, your identity, has gone apostate on and forged for self-protection.
Yeah, okay, it's like Israel with the golden calf. It was not some foreign,
right,
high place thing. It was,
right,
their own.
Right. You got it?
I've been going through a lot of opinions of that. Here we go again. When's this ever going to stop? Something else going to come up after this? And mixed with non-dispensationalism, or how can we be non-dispensational if as soon as we get through this, then we're going to be something, and forging a few little opinions about that. What the hell's going on? What are we really about? Is this all just exercise in a big circle, round and round and round we go, with no end in sight? This seems like it, but it seems like each juncture seemed like, aha, here we are, aha, here we are. Oh, this wraps it all up.
We're not here until we're transfigured, until gravity has lost its hold.
We're not here or there. What do you mean?
What do you mean we reached that place you're talking about? We had arrived. We had arrived in the new.
Remember the word, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. First thing that I think I ever talked to you about. That your body's a living sacrifice. You might be transformed, transfigured by the renewing of your mind. The word renewing is the Greek word anakinesis, which means a gradual conforming to that which was and is.
Are we dispensationalists until we get to that point?
No, you're just idol worshippers.
Someday we won't be idol worshippers.
Israel is never an idol worshiper. The life, the seed, is never worshiping idols.
But they did the golden calf thing. I mean,
for your benefit.
I know this is for my benefit. But it doesn't separate the fact that it seems dispensational. Seems
okay. Let's go to the point.
Am I the only one on this point, or am I alone again?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, I think there's making parts of it.
No,
yeah, I don't understand it.
Let's go to the point.
I'm with you, Gary.
I'm chicken. Yeah, I don't want to.
100%.
Curious.
Back to this one fundamental thing. From the very beginning, you have been a hunk of quartz. Within that hunk of quartz is pure gold, precious, perfect, pure. When your identity is the quartz, then you only see life as a series of things that are happening to it, and hoping that things will get better, and hoping that someday things will be right. The moment your identity, your mind, that's what we're about, only, ever and always, the battlefield is the mind. If you're, once it's settled, once and for all time, your identity is the court, I mean the goal, then what happens to the courts is non-meaningful. It has no,
it's not an issue.
So you understand that you have been chosen in Him from before the foundation of the world.
What I say, if I have the eyes of the guy working on the courts, if I see what he sees, because he sees the gold.
Well, but if you have the guys, your eyes have to be the eyes of the gold, not the eyes of the courts, or the guy working in the courts, or the guy hoping to get the gold at the end. You can't be separate. You have to not just have the eyes, you have to be the gold.
Yeah, I have to know.
As long as you're the gold, no matter what point in time you arrive onto the scene, you have always been. You've always been eternal. Therefore, you're born again because you existed from the first estate.
Okay. Even though I might be scattered through some courts or whatever, I don't. That doesn't offend. That doesn't.
Right. That has no meaning. It has no. That's why you can glory in tribulation, because.
Right. Yeah.
That's the whole.
I know that heat is burning out that impurities.
Well, but he's not. But if your identity is the gold, when you at the ultimate point, you then see only the gold. When you see only the gold, then the process has served its purpose. Now you can see only the gold at any time your mind is renewed, and it could be back in the middle when the quartz is as big as the earth, then you're a tenth of an ounce within the gold, within the earth. It doesn't matter. But the battlefield is to get your mind to be centered on the gold instead of on the process. If you're centered on the process in any arena, be it science or medicine or religion or physics or sociology or psychology, if your mind is centered on the process, then you're a dispensationalist.
Okay.
If your mind is centered on the gold ever and always, you're a covenant. You're in the covenant theology.
Okay. It's more than likely the process will not stop till.
The process stops the moment your mind sees it.
But that's not to say there will be no more testing.
Your process stops the moment your mind sees it.
But whoever sees it, I mean, really now.
Really?
Jesus Christ.
Okay. What about
me? 90% of my life. Most of the time, I see it as the end, finished.
Okay. Do you envision that at some point there'll be 100%? I mean, is that the potential that we're looking at?
The only reason that 10% exists is because God wants us to come and be perfected. My only purpose in here is to cause you to see your identity. That's the only reason for the apparent 10%. You've got to see, though, finally, in one time, tonight, that your identity is the goal, and that never changes. And the moment that has so totally engulfed and transformed your brain cells, you'll never again see process. You will only see process, if at all, in terms of how you cause someone else to see his finishedness.
Yeah.
That way, your eyes, that's the only way you abandon yourself, because it's completed. Why should you don't have to give it any more thought? But this is a biggie issue.
Yeah, it is.
It's the core issue of the Christ, the finishedness, the life. Everybody understand that? Now, part of the thing that caused your mind, we have the mind of Christ. There are several things that cause that. In fact, there are seven. There are seven heads. There's a beast with seven heads. It is raised. One of the heads has said he has been wounded with a deadly wound, yet he has raised himself from the dead. And all the world wondered after his power. That power, that one of the seven, is your high place identity. The other six are these images. Now, in I haven't taught this yet, but these then are all typified in the seven usurpers of the land in Canaan. It's not necessary to try to tie them into specificity, whether the Hittites, the Perizzites, or the Jebusites, but trust me on this for now. The ten crowns on those heads are the ten wisdoms of Egypt, the sorceries of Egypt. And part of those sorceries, a lot of sorceries, they all have their subheadings to the sorceries. The biggest one is reason, cause and effect, usury. We'll do that later, but I want you to come to the understanding that this process that you call right thinking is at its core sick. The process you call right thinking is deductive reasoning. Deductive reasoning is the root of Baal. It's the root of all evil from God's standpoint, except to bring you to the point that your sin is as scarlet. God demands inductive, that you know first and then test. And ever since in the history of man, ever since probably it started with the Persians, but it was amplified with the Greeks, in terms of ways of thinking, especially in the Western world, we have been slaves of deductive reasoning. Your mind only thinks in terms of how it was taught to think. Your deductive reasoning is part and parcel of the fires of Molech. God demands inductive, and inductive is revelation. And revelation comes only at the point of repentance. I want you to visualize that the whole world, every value system that you know of in this world, is lying in deception. Especially now in the Western world. And your being, your endemic, systematic mind, at its core, is rotten. Now the axe has been laid to that tree or that core. Born again, applied to induct or deductive reasoning, means, again, a process in this movement of time, or a moment in this process of time, by which you make a choice for God. You can't do that, folks. This isn't debatable. The meaning of born again means you have been extant or existing, or your life has existed from before the beginning. That's what we say when we say, I write unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. You who are now teaching or have been laid hands on to teach have to know without a doubt, without a shadow of turning, that you have existed from before the beginning. Deductive reasoning, putting your ducks in a row, list making, and all the other phenomena of this world that you have been taught, by which you were passed through the fires of Molech. Many of those idolatries that you have were forged in that fire. All have to die. You know that.
What you're saying right now is so much that thing about the fish in the ocean can't see the ocean. Until now, I have thought that this mind some parts of it were good, some parts of it were bad. I've thought that sometimes it thought right and sometimes it lied. It's not the case. The case is it is wrong. It is evil. It is bad. It is 100% of the brain, 100% of the time. And it must be replaced with the mind of Christ.
Amen.
It cannot be fixed.
It cannot be redeemed. That's why Harry knows it's so real. Because every one of his emotional positions was based on a silver molten idol in which he was trying to redeem himself. Just let me again, a couple of statements from the Talmud.
That's by controlling behaviors in certain ways.
Yeah, you've controlled your behavior. You've done it by your will. You have chosen, you have formed, you have made the forms for those images. You have poured the gold on them or the silver. Then when they started to get marred, you have garnished them with your own inventions. You have laid on them the purple. You have laid on them your images of God, your images of love, your images of fear, whatever it is. You understand? Listen to some of the things. The prohibition of idolatry is equal in weight to all other commandments of the Torah. So grave is the sin of idolatry that whosoever rejects it, it is as though he has accomplished all of the law, all of the Torah. The punishment for any form of idolatry was instant death. That's why the cross was prefigured in everything. Those who saw the gospel saw, they looked at the law and they saw the gospel. Hallelujah. They saw the day of Christ and were glad. That day of Christ meant that they saw within them the lie of their mind. They saw by revelation, by repentance, the inductive process that their identity was the gold. They had the mind of Christ. The gospel has never changed. But there's nothing new under the sun. The same heresies, ever and always. You know, there was that article the other day about that guy. It was a great, the idea of seed faith. It's the ancient of ancient heresies. It's the heavenly lottery. The idea of nominalism, which means that you just by using the name of Christ as a mantra that you're saved. All of these heresies that are extant have been there since Adam and Eve and before. They were there with Lucifer. There's nothing new. Now whose identity, who is your identity? Who are you? And the analogy, you are that pure, refined, totally refined gold. Nothing, no sensory perception can ever cause you to see otherwise. You started out with all kinds of idols. Some of them were wood, some of them were straw, some of them were made of stubble. Some of them are the greater, bigger wooden idols. No. None of those could stand even 5 minutes of preaching the cross. But the world is full of them. Those are the kind of things like, those are the ones like, if you walk under a ladder or, you know, all those little dipshit things. Astrology is really a straw kind of, I'm going to do this and this and this. Even such all of these things like necromancing and spiritism and astrology, and those are the wood, hay, and stubble idols that have no, I mean, they can't stand a moment. Then comes the silver ones, and then the gold ones. And they're the ones that are where the battlefield is. The other ones are so ridiculous, they couldn't, I mean, they're just, psh. Anybody that trusts in those is, you know, is just an idiot. Am I communicating?
Yes. Yeah. I feel like it's Passover time where you're searching out with intent to destroy. You in particular.
Me in particular.
Well, you in particular, but I'm doing it myself. Eager to find these bastards. And
we're going through Jerusalem with a candle.
Yeah.
The problem is, most of us, when we're going through Jerusalem with a candle, the candle holder is the silver idol.
you go right underneath. Right around the tree. Yeah.
Where could it be?
This is a good thing to do. This. I'm sure that after I've done it, it'll be better.
Any idol.
Yeah. Oops! What's this I found in my hand?
There goes.
Whoever acknowledges any single idol, the smallest one, the biggest one, denies the Ten Commandments as well as the precepts given to Moses, to the prophets, and the patriarchs. More important, you deny Christ. You got it?
Whoever does what to them? Whoever
acknowledges.
Acknowledges.
Gives breath to, importance
yeah.
to.
Oh.
Okay? Why don't you get a chair and put it right there, man? And not you. I'm not going to put you in the hot seat, but I want you to put a chair right there.
Your heart okay?
Anybody have anything?
I need to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I need to go.
Larry.
Well, I knew I should write my essay.
Surprise,
we're going straight for the
I need to read my essay.
I'm going to sit over here and get frolly.
Full frontal awareness.
Chair very large. I mean, I think those feet don't quite reach the floor very well.
Designed to throw you off now.
Let me talk just a minute about several of you, and the reason that I didn't know, I mean, I honestly had no idea that you were going to tell just now. But I think the reason that Larry went, I mean, what's his name, went first last night, and you now, is because for both of you, no. You're both almost consumed by, and have been all your life, consumed by the molten images. And they're not a great many graven images. It's mostly molten. And so, as I don't know if I told him or not, but maybe if it'll make it things easier, the idea of being the first one is a blessing to the others. And so in the blackness that you may experience. They'll see light.
I'm sure they
can.
Did you have a list?
Mm-hmm.
Where is it?
I left it.
At home?
Yeah.
You can probably just use mine.